Okay, so we're trying to speak last week a bit, and then this week and next week, hopefully, on topics that are relevant to the Hanukkah sugyas. So I thought one of the requests was to speak about the Isser, the prohibition to derive benefit from and to use the Neiros Hanukkah. What we're going to try to do, maybe somewhat similar to last week, is to be able to give, on the one hand, a little bit of the Lamdas or Halacha Shabo. We'll speak about four different explanations for why there may be a problem in deriving benefit from the Neiros Hanukkah, but we'll try at the same time to, develop at least one yesod that is relevant and can impact, hopefully, the experience of lighting Neiros Hanukkah in a way which can be very, very meaningful and potentially even more, if that's okay. The Gemara on Shabbos, there's some ambiguity whether there are machloksim in the Gemara about this question. We'll see in a second. But the Gemara in a couple places in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara has different discussions about whether or not a person could derive benefit from Neiros Hanukkah or not. The Gemara seems to quote a machlokas and Chaf Aleph and Aleph, whether mutter lehishtamesh le'ora or asa lehishtamesh le'ora, whether you're allowed to use for your own benefit the light of the Neiros Hanukkah. The Gemara in Chaf Aleph and Mabez speaks a little bit about, if I can find it right here, the Gemara in Chaf Aleph and Mabez talks a little bit about, like, again, the need for a shamish and how tzarech ne'aracheres l'shamish la'ora, that a person in and of itself should not necessarily be deriving benefit from it. And the Gemara also speaks about what exactly you can do in front of an Neiros Hanukkah. What's intriguing is try to figure out, as many of the Rishonim do, what would be the problem with using the light from the Hanukkah candles? What's the problem, to give one example that the Gemara gives, if I would want to count my money, count my cash next to the light of Neiros Hanukkah, especially in a community in which you don't have lots of money and candles are how you light up rooms. So if I have Hanukkah lights, so it's going to be a good opportunity for me to not have to use new candles and anything else. But I can just derive benefit from them. What exactly is the rationale? Why would there be a problem at all in deriving benefit from it? What we're not going to have time to speak about, unfortunately, is what kinds of usages may be okay or may not be okay, how that relates to the reasoning. All we do have time to do, I think, is to develop four shitos in Rishonim what the problem really is with deriving benefit from Neiros Hanukkah. Let's begin as follows. The four shitas really seem to be two camps of Rishonim. There's some Rishonim that think the problem is a general requirement, not unique to Neiros Hanukkah. The Isser L'shtamish L'ora is a general prohibition. It happens to be that it applies also to Neiros Hanukkah. That's one camp. Another camp of Rishonim, which is going to be Rashi, the Baal HaMaor, and others, was going to argue that something unique about Neiros Hanukkah, some specific reason about Neiros Hanukkah, why you are not allowed to derive benefit from the candle. So let's go through the general ideas, and then we'll spend hopefully much more time on the unique ones relevant to Hanukkah. Generally speaking, so there is a Rashba. The Rashba in Shabbos tells us as follows. It says the Rashba, the problem seems to be, Inami, kevin de la mitzvah madlika, imishtamish ba ika bizuay mitzvah. In general, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that there's a prohibition of bizuay mitzvah. What is bizuay mitzvah? That if you have a chefza of a mitzvah, you have to treat that chefza shal mitzvah in a very appropriate way. You shouldn't treat that chefza shal mitzvah in a way that would be on some level like a form of bizuay, a bizuay mitzvah. So Sam spoke before about, let's say as an example, about tzitzis. We'll give you two potential tzitzis shilas. One shila some of the posts can talk about is, let's say I want to clean my glasses. They're dirty sometimes, and I don't have one of those like good things on me where you can clean it, one of the cloths that you can clean it very well with, and I want to use my talis during shacharis to clean my glasses. Is that considered to be like bizoy mitzvah or not? Is that considered to be disgraceful as far as that? Is that considered to be a problem or not? Some of the contemporary posts can raise an additional question about bizoy mitzvah, about tzitzis as an example. Is it appropriate to, let's say, play ball wearing tzitzis, but tzitzis like directly on your body, not to have an undershirt underneath? I think Bederakal, we don't wear tzitzis when we play basketball, but let's say you did, to have it like direct in your body where the baguette itself is going to become like very disgusting as a result, is that considered to be a problem of bizoy mitzvah? So the Rashba says that I think maybe that's also the issue when it comes to deriving benefit from Neiros Hanukkah. Neiros Hanukkah are considered to be chefta shal mitzvah, or at least they're mitzvah-oriented, and to use it in a way which would be inappropriate would be a problem. Now, if that's true, what you would imagine would emerge from the Rashba is what kinds of things that you're not allowed to do with the Neiros Hanukkah. Only those kinds of things that would lechora be some form of a bizoy. But would I, if I wanted to learn Torah next to it, would that be called bizoy or not? So there you're going to get into more interesting questions. I mean, for the Rashba, one question that you have to explore is, what are the parameters of what are the parameters of Bizui Mitzvah, and that he speaks about a little bit. But he says, lo kol tashmishin shavin, ve lo kol bizuyin shavin. You have to figure out what the tashmish is, what the bizui is, but it's a general idea of bizui mitzvah. So writes the Rashba. Okay, fine. The Tovos HaRash happens to be, interesting to know, this Dechemed, see on the second page of the sheet, happens to question this whole idea of bizui mitzvah. Is that like the Chai Adam and the Shagas Ari maintain? A din de oraisa? So din de oraisa, you're not allowed to derive benefit from mitzvahs in that kind of a negative way. Or what he quotes from another poskim, that maybe it's only an Isser Dirabanan. But be that as it may, says the Rashba, potentially, it's one of his explanations, that's the primary issue at bay. Now, the Tovos HaRash, look at the second sheet. Tovos HaRash says, I think there's a different issue. Ulin v'li nira disavar, t'mitzvah shamish l'orah, t'zaka daitach, demanda amar asr l'shamish l'orah, lav mishum bizoy mitzvah ka'amar. It's not about bizoy mitzvah. D'chol mine tashmish asr, v'afil likros l'orah. Said to Tovos HaRash, it can't be an issue of bizoy mitzvah because there are so many things that you're not allowed to do in front of the Neres Chanukah that are considered to be a bizoy. Reading in front of Neres Chanukah is not being mivaza in Neres Chanukah. Using it to clean your glasses, maybe I could hear that. It's all sweaty and gross, and you're that's maybe bizoy mitzvah. This is not called bizoy mitzvah. Now that you can't read in front of it, not called bizoy mitzvah. So why is it? El tahamel mishum de huktza limitzvaso. Huktza limitzvaso. What is huktza limitzvaso? So we saw some of this stuff a little bit earlier, I think, in Masechta Sukkah, earlier in the year, which is that we know that the content of muktza is limited to Hilchos Shabbos. And the Shabbos are something called muktza. They're not allowed to move certain things on Shabbos because it is designated for a whole kind of a usage. So it's designated, it's huktza for a particular usage, so you can't use it on Shabbos. There's a similar concept called huktza limitzvaso, like was the case potentially with the dal minim. That there are certain things which are designated for a particular mitzvah purpose, and when it gets designated for a particular mitzvah purpose, so then you're not allowed to use it for other purposes. Says Tovos HaRash, what's the advantage of my pshat over the bizoy mitzvah pshat? I will have an easier time explaining those shitas in the Gemara that maintain you really can't use it at all. Why can't I use it at all? Because if it is huktza limitzvaso, if it's dedicated and put aside for a particular mitzvah, so then really you can't use it for anything else. So argues Tosfos Rosh. What's similar about the Rashba and Tovos HaRash, they're both invoking general Kol HaTorah Kula ideas that would prohibit you from using it. Either it's a function of Bizoy Mitzvah, a general concept, or it's a function of Huktza L'mitzvaso, that things that are dedicated for mitzvahs like Dal Minim, you can't juggle your Dal Minim on Sukkot because they are Huktza L'mitzvaso. Even if it weren't the problem of Bizoy, that would still be the problem. However, there are two Rishonim, or two groups of Rishonim that maintain that maybe the issue is a unique Neiros Chanukah issue. Maybe, strictly speaking, Bizoy Mitzvah would not be a good enough reason, and maybe even Huktza L'mitzvaso is not really the driving force behind what we find here. Maybe, in fact, it is something else. Rashi in Masecha Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amabez, V'Aser, says Rashi, V'Aser L'Histames L'Ora, Sheyehei Nikr Shehu Ner Mitzvah. Says Rashi the following very important idea. Tzitzis are tzitzis. They are what they are. Dal minim are dal minim. When it comes to Neiros Chanukah, we have a particular desire to make it clear that the candle that is being lit for Neiros Chanukah reasons. It can't be the candle is lit and we're not sure, was it lit for your own purpose or was it not lit for your own purpose? People are sitting around the candle and they're reading a book next to the candle. It's not going to be nicker. It's not going to be clear that it's really done for Neiros Chanukah. What is presumably the pshat behind that? What is presumably the issue as far as nikkur? The issue is persume nisa. That persume nisa, part of the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, is to spread a message. And if there's no hecker, we saw last week in Tosvos that if there's no hecker, even within the B'nai Bayit, for what day it is, there may be a chisaron. This is saying, if we see people using it and there's no hecker at all, so it won't be as clear, it's really considered to be Persume Nisa based. That's what Rashi writes. The Beis Halevi comment, maybe this is a different question. The Beis Halevi comment says, well, is that really always true? Is that really always true as an example? It's one thing if I'm lighting in my window and you see a candle and me reading a book next to that candle where you would be suspect. But, says Beis Halevi, what if you see someone outside an outsider come and derive benefit from your candle, should there really be an Isser for someone else? I mean, for someone else in my house, if I'm using it, you would say, maybe it wasn't Erev Chanukah. But if you see it being lit in my house, and there's a guy next to my window who comes, like, you know, looking at something, again, an odd situation, nonetheless, would that really qualify as a hecker? So it says, basically, maybe it'd be limited. You can understand for Rashi, limited to certain people. But undoubtedly for Rashi, part of what you find unique to Erev Chanukah, this is like an interesting idea. In general, we try to create a culture where people don't feel like they're being judged. We try to create a culture where people, like, it doesn't have to be clear to everyone, like, every mitzvah that you do. It's not like if you're doing mitzvah X, you want to, like, publicize it and walk around and make sure everyone knows that whatever you do is really holy. But what is unique about Erev Chanukah is we want the message to get out. And suddenly when it comes to Erev Chanukah, it is important to us, it is valuable for us, that other people actually look at what we are, at what you are doing, and as a result of seeing what you are doing, decide to make certain, you know, decide to know, oh, it must be he's doing this for a mitzvah. That relates to a different Gemara Masechta Shabbos, but the Isser of Chashad, about making sure if you have two openings in your home, you have candles at both, and whether that's just a Kol HaTorah Kula idea or something unique to Erev Chanukah, that's an important discussion also. But again, what you have, according to Rashi, is a very unique and specific issue, which is making sure it's there. It's there, presuming Nisa. I just want to make sure that we get, and then we'll. There is a fourth Mahalach. The fourth Mahalach understands is unique to Erev Chanukah. It's a very famous comment to the Baal HaMe'or. You find it in Rashba also. It's some very, very good Torah. I'll say with full disclosure, Rav Yerucham Olshan, we'll speak about it in a second, in Yerach Lemo'adim, dedicate my flight back for this, has an interesting Ha'ara about differences even within these Rishonim. But he points out, but the Baal HaMe'or is something which is wild. Says the Baal HaMe'or, why is it Asa Lishtam Yesh La'ora? So this is the Baal HaMe'or which gets quoted as part of a much larger discussion, one of the major themes of Chanukah. Asa Lishtam Yesh La'ora. Afilu b'tashmis, tashmis de mitzvah, b'tashmis kedusha, mishum, de kesavar kevan shem zecher l'neros, v'l'shemen shel heichal, asuras hein b'hana kol ikar. You know why it's asur l'shtamish l'ora? Not because of bizoy mitzvah, and not because of hotel mitzvah, so, and not because of pesumin isish, but rather because the nature of the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah are modeled after the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And because they are modeled after the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, just like the menorah and the oil, the candles in the Beis HaMikdash, it was usher to get hana'ah from, so too is it considered to be usher to get hana'ah from these. We established it like that. It's modeled after that. And because it's modeled after that, so what we are going to do is we are going to have it be a complete prohibition, just like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rebbe Russell, I believe, suggests that you find two camps of Rishonim when they quote this pshat. One pshat, this will bring back memories of Zecher LeMikdash in the Brisker Rav and Menachos, whether it's more of a token kind of a connection. Like, it's not really the Isser of the menorah. It's more of like a token kind of a connection, like just like the menorah, so to here. But there do seem to be shown in the Baal HaMe'or amongst them that understand that there's something a little bit more powerful here. Maybe it's not just a token connection, but maybe in many ways there's a kiyum which takes place of the lighting of Neiros Chanukah, which is supposed to be an extension of the Neiros of the menorah. Where do we find that? We find that with a world-famous Ramban. It's a world-famous Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha. Rashi tells in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha that Aaron felt very bad. Why did Aaron feel bad? All the Nesiim brought karbanos, and Aaron didn't bring karbanos. And then what happens? So the Medrash says, Rashi quotes, Hashem said, Shelcha gedol mishalahem. You have something better than bringing the karbanos, when we initially consecrate and establish the Mishkan, which all the Nesiim brought, you have something better. Bahaloschas haneros. You have the menorah. And wonders the Ramban a very simple question. Why is Aaron, who felt bad, he wasn't able to offer karbanos with the Nesiim, why did Aaron feel better about the possibility to offer the menorah? Why was the menorah remotely comforted for him? Why was there nechama in that? The ktores, give him nechama. All the karbanos he brought, the minchas chavitin, he brought so many things. Why is the menorah what is going to bring him nechama? And says the Ramban the following, Aval inyin ha'agada hazo lidros remez min ha'parsha al chanukah shel neiros. So he said by a sheni al yedei Aaron uvanav. That really the comfort Aaron got was not just the menorah that was going to take place then. It was also the menorah that the Chasmonam were going to light Bezman Beis HaMikdash. And further, says the Ramban, I saw a medrash, where the medrash says that, you know what? There is a reference that the Hadlakas Neros that we light nowadays in Hanukkah is a hemshich of the lighting that took place Bezman Beis HaMikdash. This miracle was the menorah and Beis HaMikdash, and there are halachas that parallel, the way we light, halachas that parallel, that which we are going to do in our home when we light candles. I want to elaborate on two or three points that I think are meaningful in light of this general yesod. You can't derive benefit from them because it is modeled after the menorah and the heichal. Happens to be, derech agav, some of the posts come on, so sure as to why it's usher to derive benefit from the menorah and the heichal. Like, who says you can't derive benefit from it? It's not so clear there's an Isser of Me'ilah here. It's like Gemara Masechet Pesach. I'm not so clear what the issue is. The Levush writes, L'maisa, no one ever went in to see the menorah. So we want to have it be modeled after that people are not deriving benefit from it. Just like practically, people weren't in the time there, whatever it is. What's the significance of this? I want to just, for me, these ideas radically alter what you are doing when you light Neiros Chanukah. It is not a regular mitzvah with regular dinim of bizoy mitzvah, of huktel mitzvah. So it isn't only that I'm trying to mefarse menes. You know what Neiros Chanukah is in many ways really all about? It's about you experiencing a taste of mikdash when you light that candle. What Aaron HaKohen was comforted with was the knowledge that we would be lighting Neiros Chanukah even nowadays. And when you light that, you are like, now hadlaka is always k'sheira bizarre. It's a Gemara Masechet Yuma. A non-Kohen can light the menorah. When you light the menorah, you're lighting it ke'ilu just like it was. You are participating in that, like you were with the menorah. I think there's one step further, if that's okay, and I think it's a very powerful one. It is not coincidental that we dafka light the menorah in our homes. Bias. It may even be a din in the bias. Akadekach, that one without a bias, could be, for some postkim, isn't even chayav. If you're a soldier who's sleeping outside, and whatever it is, some of the postkim discuss that kind of a case, could be your pater from Neiros Chanukah. You're in an airplane, and you have no home that night. For some postkim, not so clear that you're really considered to be chayav under at least certain circumstances. Why is your home the place that you do that? Because the home, and there are many mikoros like this, in many ways, is an attempt at establishing, not just shul is a mini mikdash, but homes are also a mini mikdash. Homes are a mini mikdash. That's why some postkim quote a Zohar, that on Shabbos, your table and your Shabbos candles should be tzafon and darum, north and south, just like in the mikdash. Your Shabbos, your table and your candles would be north and south. Your home in many ways. There's salt on your table, because I'll call karbancha takriv melech. That there's something about the home which in many ways is supposed to be like a form of mikdash. We light Neiros Chanukah. Not only are we tapping into a world of mikdash, not only are we performing a very holy avodah, it's also a raya. It also shows but the kind of attitude, the kind of tone, the kind of kedusha that can be found within a home. It's trying to make a statement about the kind of kedusha that could be there. This is a place that can have an element of kedushas mikdash. It can have an element of all of those things. I always like to add about this, you can take it or leave it. This is at least the way that I like to view these things. You have with a shul also, like a mini mikdash. It's a mikdash ma'at, the Gemara says, Mesachs Megillah, for the Arayim and maybe for the Rambam, Kedusha of a shul is do'oraisa, learned from Kedusha of mikdash. Building a shul for the Zohar is a din do'oraisa, the same way there's a din do'oraisa to build a mikdash. And again, our home also has those parallels. Why would that be? Why would there be parallels? Why would there be places that have a Kedusha of mikdash type thing, even though there is no mikdash? Why would there be a shul being a mini mikdash, even on a doraisa level? Or that Chazal would be misaking a mitzvah like Neiros Chanukah, modeled after the Beis HaMikdash, even when there is no Beis HaMikdash? I think there's two ways to explain this phenomenon. One way to explain it is it offers a degree of comfort. We may not have Beis HaMikdash, we still have shuls. We may not have Mekomos HaKadoshim the same way, we still have our homes. And that part of what we're trying to figure out right now is we still have shaychus to the world of mikdash. Don't think it's all gone. Don't think it's never going to come back. There is something there. Every time you walk into a shul, says the Yerayim, you treat it with kedusha because the same biblical prohibition, the same iser doraisa, to derive benefit from, to treat a shul in an inappropriate way, a base of mikdash, so to a shul. And the same way, potentially for the Rambam also, and the same way, says the Balaam Or, you could never derive benefit from the menorah and the mikdash. You can't derive benefit from the menorah there. You know what? we also have, it's comforting there. It's comforting there also. We have Shaychas, the world of Mikdash. We're not as far away as we sometimes think. And we can experience a little bit of that Kedusha here also. Personally, I also think that there's probably a second explanation for why this exists. You can definitely take this or leave it. It is just a theory that is based on absolutely nothing. But I think I believe in it deeply, and that's the following. The best way for us to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we are ready to have a Beis HaMikdash is by doing an amazing job with the remnants of Mikdash that we have. If we can't act properly in shul, how can we tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, if we can't handle the Mikdash Ma'at, that we're ready for the real thing? If we can't light menorahs in our homes and experience and treat them with Kedusha and not derive benefit from them and be able to experience them in a holy way, in a very, very holy way, so then how could we possibly say to Ribbono Shel Olam, we're really ready for the real thing? That in many ways, it's not just a nechama, it's also in many ways a little bit of a test as to how much you're able to appreciate the Kedusha which is there. What are you able to do to connect to benefit, to tap into the holiness which is there when you light? We should be zocha as we prepare for Chanukah to appreciate not just the halachas of what I derive benefit from, but the experience of lighting and what it reflects about the Kedusha of the menorah and what it may even reflect, more broadly speaking, about the Kedusha in a home, which, by the way, the only other place where we really light, for not Chabadnikim amongst us, the only other place where you really light is a Beis Knesses. So we're making a statement right now about where Chanukah menorah really is. It's a place that are like a mikdash. It's a comfort that we have shaychus to it. It's a challenge. Can you live up to? Can you live up to having that level of Kedusha, and can you model to it in a way which is very helpful? Take questions.